United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Roll call, please.
Bowman.
Present. Here.
Shoup. McNaughton.
Here.
Mablo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Place. Jeff Ross.
Here.
Monica Ross. Van Damelen.
Here.
Mayor, Monica, and Larry did call in and request that you be excused.
Good. Need a motion?
I'll move if we excuse Monica and Larry, Monica Ross and Larry Shoup.
And Aaron.
And Aaron.
What?
And Aaron.
Oh, Aaron too? Okay, yeah, and Aaron, please.
All right. Okay, second.
Second.
Oh, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, let's move on to consent agenda. All we have is approval of minutes from the last meeting. All right, I have a motion to approve the minutes as they are.
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Who motioned that?
Me.
Second. All right.
Thank you.
Moving on to hearings of citizens present for non-agenda items.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I introduce Zach Zomfels. He is the new housing ready director for Charlotte County, just recently hired. So he is joining us tonight. I don't know, Zach, you want to say anything?
I just kind of wanted to come and introduce myself. Working all throughout the county, but certainly working with Scott and Mike here in the city and city resident as well. So excited to hopefully give you some houses on the ground.
All right, nice to meet you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Anyone else? All right, thank you. All right, Scott, reports, officers, boards, and standing committees, please.
Nothing for me.
All right. We have no unfinished business, so moving on to new business A, pre-application review for 668 State Street for zoning change for commercial use.
Yes, this is a pre-application conference which was requested by Chad Numa, of course. This is just an informal discussion with Chad and yourselves, just to hear what they're thinking and to get some feedback regarding that, and then make a decision if they want to move forward with a formal application. So this property is located out on State Street, just well, directly across from the east entrance of the Rotary Park there. It's on a map highlighted. Currently, it's being used as a residential use. Chad, you live there, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and so this is the property that they're looking to have considered for a rezoning. So, Chad, if you want to maybe address the commission and what he has in mind.
Hi, my name is Chad Newell, resident of White City. What we're basically looking to do would be an extension off a current commercial property, which is directly listed here. Where would that be? More?
West.
West.
Point irrigation.
Yeah, point irrigation. Mm-hmm. And we want to take the half acre, so we have the 3 acres. So we want to take the half acre directly in front of our house where there is an existing garage, 25 by 25 feet, and temporarily make that into the board shop. And then build a outbuilding pole barn 50 by 50. And so we're able to then make a division within the business to do ramp building, portable feature building, host clinics, build a mini ramp for indoor skating in the winter time. So you can keep people skate park itself, so good location for that.
Are you currently renting the party pack?
Yes.
And when is that?
June, and then it will go for a month and one lease, set it back on, go back on the market.
Thank you, Jeff.
Is there a sidewalk in front of your place? Does it go all the way down, or?
It does not.
It does not, okay.
It goes to Rotary Park, which we've also discussed in building the skate park of connecting the sidewalk through there to, what street is that?
Call Street.
Call Street.
But is the sidewalk on the Rotary Park side of the street?
Yeah.
Okay.
So your anticipation would be like a small storefront and like workshop?
A small storefront, it'd be more like a workshop with retail space inside of it.
Right.
Some of the stuff that we're going to be building as far as the features and stuff that are not going to be easily displayed.
Right.
You know, and kind of more of a shag is kind of, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Scott, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this traditional right now, right? TRD.
That's a great TRD.
Right. And I know that in the future land use, we talked about making this stretch of road that is then part of mixed use.
And we did.
So
it was updated 2 years ago.
Right. So if he was going to apply for like a conditional or a change in zoning, what kind of zoning would you be looking at for what he wants to do?
Well, probably the most appropriate would be the transitional commercial district.
Okay.
So of course, when you consider a rezoning, you're not, you know, you can take into account what they're proposing, but you also have to consider everything that can happen there.
Right.
If it is changed.
Right.
Unless it's a conditional rezoning request, and that's a whole different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that would allow basically everything he's talking about. It talks about retail, some retail with shops or, you know, fabrication with them, you know, like fabrication, that kind of thing. Service industries kind of take account for that. You know, skateboarding classes or whatever, that kind of thing happens. So that would be probably the most appropriate. Now, when the Planning Commission looked at changing that future land use map, this mixed use, we really didn't have a district quite yet developed to emulate what the Planning Commission was thinking.
Right.
That was going to happen with the total master plan update and then zoning ordinance review. So this kind of is premature in reviewing it to this way. So, but, you know, as he goes forward, if it is changed, you know, it's still subject to development plan review. So, you know, any application for structures and the layout, design, and development of property would have to be approved by the Planning Commission.
Right. So then I'll ask you, you had mentioned just a half acre of a 3 acre parcel.
Right.
So were you guys like planning on like trying to subdivide the parcel?
No, what we're doing is trying to protect the river from commercial use. Because Scott had mentioned, you got to look towards the future too. If we rezone the whole entire 3 acre parcel, then what's to say that, you know, something's not going to happen to me and then all of a sudden there's a big resort there.
Right.
I don't want that.
Right.
So I looked at it and that first half acre would be within the building of the building next door. So they have a similar structure, 50 by 50. Right next door, we would be right in line with that if we built connecting to our garage. So. That's kind of why I
just kind of that. Now, is that its own individual parcel and the parcel found by the river is own parcel as well?
There's two.
Yeah.
So the front off the road is one parcel. There's, and then there's, I think it would be broken up into on the river.
Yeah, that's what I recall.
There's
so,
1 acre right directly behind where the irrigation.
Yeah, that highlighted that area is its own parcel.
Oh, I thought you were saying, so this is the half acre parcel.
Yeah, that's already, yeah.
Right, so we would be able to limit any potential rezoning.
They wouldn't have to create a new parcel or any.
Right, so it would just.
Or have a bisected zoning, something like that, so.
Okay. Well, anybody on the committee have any questions, Tom?
Yeah, so back to zoning, current TRD versus our master plan. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, our master plan, future land use map, which was updated in 2021, we had lots of discussions about this corridor and the designation of, you know, some kind of mixed use, because there's a number of non-residential uses along it right now. You got a couple businesses, a few churches, you know, some homes. And so it kind of lends itself to have that kind of mixed use. Now, the level of intensity of those uses, I don't know if that transitional commercial district is what the planning commission was thinking. It may be a little too intensive. It may more have been along the line of offices and those kind of more passive uses, as opposed to retail and fabrication and things like that, that have a little more intensity to them.
So, but if we change this, until we change the master plan to actual, until we change zoning, is this spot zoning?
Well, no. I mean, it's in line with your master plan if you determine that transitional commercial district fits in with that mixed use designation, which for the time being is pretty much it does. But like I said, the planning commission's intent was to review the zoning ordinance in total after the master plan is updated, and then maybe look at kind of modifying a specific mixed-use district that would kind of be like the transitional commercial, but maybe not as intensive.
I guess I'm just confused on the timing. What comes first?
Well, as you may recall, when we last reviewed the master plan, it was the recommendation of the planning commission to do that this year. And it was budgeted. We did put some money in the budget, but we would need some assistance to do that. And we were planning on RRC funding to help match that requirement. I spoke with Pablo, our coordinator for the RRC, in regards to securing some funds. And he indicated that right now they are pretty much, you know, committed for this budget year. Their new budget year starts in October, and to submit an application then. So that's that master plan process has probably been pushed down, you know, 8-9 months, so before we can realistically get started on that. But the intent was to update the master plan in total and then do a review of the zoning ordinance and then update that in accordance with the new master plan and the new future land use map. And that's when, you know, that district would probably be more refined and defined.
Okay.
Meet your intentions.
So our task is, you're right, coming up State Street, you have Ed's Electric, you have the church, you have the storage center, you have the irrigation, you have the dentist office. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, right next to this piece of property, you have two residential.
Right.
So do you want residential next to a retail or a manufacturing? But because we've already talked about it, you're saying the transition can't happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you determine, you know, ultimately it's going to be the city commission that determines whether or not it happens or not.
Right.
And of course, you can recommend one way or the other, and they still can
do. But, you know, if you determine that what they're proposing and all the other uses that are allowed in there are consistent with what your intention was, then, you know, recommend it. But if it's not, then, you know, don't.
Right, so what we're thinking is that potentially when we talk about this mixed use of potentially having a new zoning district, mm-hmm. that may include light manufacturing, but not, you know, but restrict some of the things that may be available in the TCD, is what you're saying?
That will be up to the...
Right.
I think, yeah, we'll have that debate exactly what those uses should consist of.
Right. I mean, personally, I feel like what they're representing is kind of what my idea was to begin with, was just to try and open up this corridor to make it look a little bit more vibrant when people were coming into town from that direction. And, you know, like Chad stated, I think location-wise, that this new skate park's going right over here at Brewery, well, it's kind of a no-brainer in that sense. But it's the manufacturing side of everything that's kind of the stickler.
Yeah, I think it'd be valuable to look exactly what the manufacturing has with the indoor skate park.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be like a straight up, like, you know, assembly line manufacturing. It'd be
right.
Myself and another person putting
together
right. four by eight
right.
pieces in
right, place. Right. But again, I think that's.
Which would kind of fall in line with the pro shop.
Right. No, it's yeah. Right. No, 100%. No, I love your idea. We just have to be very careful.
Yeah, no.
Because you can't unleash, like Tom was saying, you don't want to spot zone something in the middle of town that's not necessarily designed to fit in, even though we thought about this at length, about trying to make this corridor a little bit more friendly for businesses. I mean, we've already got several businesses operating there. But, you know.
Well, what kind of impact is it going to have on the existing residential? I personally visited the property today, and I'll tell you, if I was a homeowner further down that street, I would not want to see any more businesses put onto this thing. And second of all, one of the things that we need to address as a commission is the fact that we are losing another parcel that could be a viable residential, either multifamily dwelling or another residential dwelling. And again, we continue to cannibalize this.
Well, I think that discussion was made when the Planning Commission determined to change this district to mixed use. So that debate has already happened, whether or not businesses should be allowed in this area.
Yeah, that was pre-carved.
Right, pre-carved. So you understand, you know, that choice has been made. So, you know, mixed use to allow some kind of commercial entities was a, you know, a focus and a desired outcome for this particular area.
And I, if I recall what Chad was saying, is they live on the premises and are going to continue
yeah.
doing so. So they're not going to be losing a residential area because it's actually helping to bring a business and succeed in our community by allowing them to property use to the, you know, their maximum. Instead of renting somewhere else or trying to purchase a property down further downtown, they're bringing something where a skate park is going to be directly across the road. So whether or not there's, you know, more businesses being added, they're right next to a business across the road from where their highest clientele is going to be. But to me, it just seems we want to bring people in, and this can, our community right now is actually showing more retirees than young families, and young families provide workforce. And so if we don't find a balance to help draw people in, we can really lose that ability.
But as you know, much as you want to consider their circumstances, you still have to
look at
focus on what the ultimate change means.
Right.
And, you know, like, you know, something could happen, they could decide to change, move and sell the property, and then you have this, which is all those other districts are, uses are allowed. So
right.
When you have to keep in mind that that's just not this request that you're reviewing.
Right, 100%. That's why I'm a little concerned, because, you know, even if we do change the zoning completely, all we have to fall back on is the ordinance and the zoning. So if they were to sell the property, somebody else came in, we're only the only mechanisms we have are what's in the ordinance.
Right.
So basically, prior to that.
Right there, I was kind of looking for this to kind of say, you know, what they're planning to do is included in this district where it's a retail sales, right, workshop, retail outlet. So that's kind of what it seems to me they're talking about. But, you know, those, what they're looking at would be covered, in my mind, under this district. But again, there's a lot of other things that are allowed as well.
And that's a tradition, or the transitional?
Transitional commercial district, yeah.
And when we denied the office space at the bottom of the hill, it's kind of irrelevant because we since have had this conversation.
Yeah, because that was prior to that future land use map meeting, so it was inconsistent with that. And at that time, the commission didn't want to vary from that future land use. Since then, there's been a reconsideration, and the map has been changed, and now those uses are more acceptable.
Yeah, if I'm reading section L correctly, that's basically saying so we could throw like a Dollar General there if they were by the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's. If it were to be rezoned to this district, that's a potential use for a potential future landowner, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And just that property by the road, right? Not the whole property?
Yeah, but just.
Now, if they sold the house, not saying you're going to, and down the future, we're going to have to be an easement onto that property? Because there's plenty of property be up front and the house behind.
Yeah, you can't landlock. It would have to be.
And then parking for you guys, what would that kind of consist of or look like on that property?
We'd be parking,
so between where Pointer and
West,
there's a line of trees.
West, and coming around and pulling in the building from this direction. So our cars would essentially be facing towards State Street.
Okay.
Once I pulled around.
Gotcha.
Again, you know, if this happens, that's a whole another discussion with development planning review requirements, how parking's done, how buildings are done, and that kind of thing. So now that's step two in the process. This is just step one, whether the commission believes it's appropriate, and then ultimately if the city commission agrees.
So what would you, I mean, you might not be able to answer, but a time frame for them that. Obviously, they're trying to get a fast, like, time frame for the commission.
Zoning changes do take some time. I mean, the first step would be a formal application, and then a public hearing by the planning commission. Once that public hearing is held, then it can be submitted to the city commission for a first reading. And then after that, they have to have a second reading, which can be no sooner than 30 days after the first reading. So we're looking at, you know, probably 6 months, realistically, before the change can happen.
What kind of time frame are you on in terms of, if you're given a green light go, when are buildings going to go up, and when is this thing moving to, in terms of a reality? Of
we could have, I mean, we talked to somebody and they said July for the other building.
I don't think you would know until at least the first reading by the city commission whether or not they were receptive to the change. So, you know, even if this planning commission recommends the change, you know, at a future public hearing, it's still not a done deal. Mm-hmm. The city commission ultimately has to approve that change, and you know, I can't, you know, speculate on what. You to wait on making any decisions until you know. And then once that, if that change is made, you'd have to come back to this board for development plan review. So your specific building plans and site development would all have to be approved. So you're looking at another, you know, 30 days after, at least,
you know, because you're going to have plans and drawings and all that material to submit it here. So realistically, I don't see July and being able to build anything. You're probably looking at fall, you know, realistically.
I think, too, it's important to know that we were actually thinking about this in phases, too. Our original thought was, you know, once we can get the okay, if that's even going to be possible, is start in the garage. And the second phase would be constructing an additional building to do the ramps and the building and construction fees. We don't anticipate even being able to get a building constructed and, you know, by fall necessarily because of the shortages, but I guess I wanted to be clear that we were thinking about it as a phase project where we would start in the garage and then add these other elements at a later time. But I guess I felt like that was
again, that would be a part of the development approval, and it's assumed right. that the planning commission, you know, approved any kind of phase approach. That's up to them.
So you're saying the current black building that's there, you would want to turn into retail ASAP as soon as your June deadline is up at the party back, which forces us to say, okay, yay or nay, we allow.
I mean, the reason why I was coming here is to kind of get a feel for if it would be worth to just go ahead and just start drywalling, insulating, and, you know, going for it right now. I mean, because right now we're trying to get into another spot, and there's really nothing. And for our board shop to survive throwing $1,700 a month away in rent, it's not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, we want to be here for the park. We want to be here, you know. That's why there's not a board shop around. It's hard to survive. It's hard to pay the shipping coming, you know, buying everything from California and having it shipped here. It's killing us in shipping. I mean, and then paying up, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep the overhead small, keep everything, you know, keep our footprint small, just work out of our house, use what we already have, man. We got a lot of property.
I appreciate that, but would that bring some red flags if they started doing this before they went through the process?
Well, it would be red flags, but I think it would be a risk to start spending.
Well, if I finish out the 25 by 25 foot garage, I don't think it would do anything besides increase our property value.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to do that.
I'll just do that and then hope.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, what you guys are presenting is exactly what I had in mind when we talked about mixed use. Mm-hmm. Just something very light like this. The problem is that currently I don't think we have anything to rezone it to that has likelihood of even making it through the commission, because I seem hard pressed once you get public comment in here and people understand what that district is, they're going to get a lot of flack and a lot of feedback to try and pull it. I feel bad because I feel like we're shoehorned in here a little bit by not having something in the ordinance that fits our mixed use for the kind of vision that I have for it, because what they're presenting is exactly what I present.
Could we change the ordinance for the?
I think that's all part of this process that theoretically.
To help restrict, say, those non-general places coming in?
Well, exactly. It would take amending the ordinance, which you're looking at the process identical to what they're doing.
Right.
You're going, you know, you have to develop the language.
Right.
Which I don't see that happening in a meeting.
No.
So.
And that's my concern. Yeah. That we have this really great idea of how we want this to be.
Right.
But we don't have a tool.
Well, we do have a tool.
Right.
It's called conditional rezoning.
Okay.
They have a very specific plan. I don't know if they're prepared to detail that enough to make you satisfied with what that could be.
Right.
But there is a tool. You know, we've done it before for a couple different locations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty complicated. I mean, it would take some detailed drawings and vision and subject to the very specific language of the agreement, and which you agree to.
Right.
So it can be, you know, site-specific to what the plan is, what the use is, and that's all be, offered by them. Say, this is what we are proposing, and you can either say no or yes. You can't negotiate with them.
Right.
It's basically, this is our plan.
Right.
But if it's not a good plan, and a really developed plan, you're probably going to say no. So that's going to be on them. If that's a tool that they would like to use, they would have to, probably get some professional help to develop, a vision and a base plan that you're talking about.
And with that being said, we want to do that actually for the whole quarter. We don't want that whole quarter coming to town looking ugly. So when we do rezone it, if we do, would there be week two stipulations that we recognize appreciate with parking and sidewalks and
in the ordinance?
In the ordinance?
Yeah, you can put all kinds of standards in there.
Yeah.
Some of those are already covered in your site plan review standards. Landscaping, parking, those kinds of things. But if there were other additional things you want to see in that district, then you could put those into that district requirements.
We talked about that on the quarter coming in on M75 from Boyden Falls. But do whatever we can to beautify your entry into town.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost the same thing.
It's exactly the same. It's just we're more residential, obviously, on that end of town than on that end of town. But for me, my vision was always like when you drive into Charlotte, where it's a really good mix. It still all looks like traditional homes, but they're just businesses, operating out of them. And, I mean, we already have some of that. I'm not sure how that, that doesn't really affect this, obviously. But,
well, for businesses, I think it's different than the commercial piece.
Right. Any other thoughts, Jim?
Yeah, it's a tough call because you've got a cool idea, and but we weren't, when we came up with the mixed use idea, it was more like low traffic type of operations, not strictly retail. Like the irrigation place, they don't have customers coming in there, it's just their own. Company's trucks, Ed's Electric, same kind of thing. I think that's what we envisioned there, that it would be a low traffic, low customer count kind of thing, but it could still be business oriented. And I think that's what we envisioned, right? And then, of course, you come up with an idea that makes sense too. It makes sense from the location next to the park, but it's 45 miles an hour. If you're really successful and you get a lot of kids up there and moms and dads dropping them off and then they're crossing the street, I could see people, that's the kind of thing, as you say, when the neighbors come that they're going to come up with and say, what about this and what about that?
We are those people.
Yeah, the speed limit needs to be lowered through there anyway.
It's scary.
It is scary.
I would agree, but that's a state highway, and our city doesn't have any control over that.
I'm just curious, and this might be off topic, so you can correct me, but since our neighbor died like right in front of our house because of like the whole biking and
driving
situation, was that ever addressed with the state highway situation? I don't know, I guess I was just curious if that was ever a topic.
I don't know.
The road commission might be looking at it.
Yeah, sure.
They take into account my submit, so that's the state.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I think at this point, I think your only recourse until we go through a lot more on our end of through our master plan review and ordinance review, a conditional rezoning might be the only direction you guys would want to consider going. I just feel like that's going to be the most
city commission on top of that. They have resources here at City Hall they could work with to kind of learn how that process works.
I'm happy to explain to them, but it would still be the
up to them.
Obligation for them to.
100%. Right.
So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all coming.
I don't think it'll be any more traffic than the irrigation has employees. You know, they're over there every morning.
There's tons of trucks.
And there's like lots of other companies go to that place to get their parts too. So it'd be similar traffic load. I mean, it'll get, you know, everybody not loitering in town for the ski shop. Nobody wants to see 5, 6, 7 kids sell skiing in front of downtown.
I'm sure.
Well, I'd skate by it. I want to. I love it. I think, I mean, I enjoy it.
Have you been into Lake Charlevoix Coffee?
No.
That shop?
No.
Well, that was a big space. And they split it in probably not in half, but in thirds maybe. And the little tiny area on the right side when you walk in is a
retail shop,
but what it's kind of an outdoor stuff, right? Tents and that sort of thing. But it's really, if you could find somebody like that to just give me a corner of, you know, a third of their store, you help them with the rent. Now that doesn't help you with your concept.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help at all.
Of putting.
So we want to be able to do like in person classes and stuff like that. Some skiing clinics and stuff at the shop. That's what we're dealing with other rental spaces in town. Water Street Mall. They don't want anybody skating anywhere near there, so. Yes, I know. It's going to be an issue, and I already know it's going to be an issue. And I just don't want it to be an issue with everybody. You got to just know.
Maybe you should reset. I said, you know, we can tell every single person don't skateboard in the parking lot.
Yep.
And as soon as they might not even be our customer, but we'll still be liable. So.
Wouldn't you, Jen?
I took my son down to go and show him like a possible spot of the new rental place, the new shop. As soon as he gets it, he can't skate in the parking lot. Boom! Drops his board and starts skating. I'm like,
no, dude.
It's so smooth, though.
So. All right. Well, all right. Anything else on that, you guys? No? All right. We gotta move on. I'm sorry. All right. It's got a review of the RRC certified education renewal snapshot.
Yeah, I thought I would bring this to the city commission. This is a report that we received from our RRC coordinator, basically a review of all their best practices and where we align with all those and things that we don't, that we need to adjust to. So I thought it would be good and beneficial to share this with the planning commission. As there are some activities here that the planning commission should be part of. This is a 12-year-month process, well, 12-month process, which started about January. So come December, hopefully we'll have most of this completed. So here's kind of a list. It looks like, you know, there's a lot of things that we're not aligned with. We're only partially aligned. So the master plan that we talked about is the first item, and that is something that the planning commission is going to look to update. And like I mentioned earlier, it looks like it would be October at the earliest to see if we secure funding to do that. But you know, we have reviewed it annually, and so we are, in my mind, aligned with what RRC requirements are. We just haven't accomplished getting it updated, but we have reviewed it and we do what we're required to on an annual basis. The capital improvement plan, that was adopted as part of the budget last week, so that's been completed. The public participation plan, you may recall, we looked at that last year and updated it, and so it's an annual thing that they want that updated, but they also provide an update on engagement activity. I'm not sure what engagement activity consists of entirely. I think that's something that the Planning Commission can define itself. You know, we do attempt a lot of public engagement. I mean, you know, look at the technology around you. This has all been implemented, you know, since 2021. You know, we do other means of public engagement. So, you know, those activities do ongoing above and beyond, you know, the typical required notices and things like that. So, to me, I think we're aligned with that particular issue. But, you know, we can go look at that public participation plan, put it on our agenda, and look at it again on an annual basis to meet that criteria. Again, alignment with the master plan, as we discussed, we're looking to update that, and then once that happens, you know, a complete review of the ordinance. You know, we have done a lot of changes to the ordinance just in the last couple of years, a lot regarding the housing, you know, that the housing barriers that we removed is a lot of our amendments, but the ordinance in total, it was developed or adopted in 2001. There are some things in there that probably should be updated. One thing I think that cluster development that we talked about, you know, I think that can be rewritten entirely or rethought or something. In other articles, I think could be updated to, a lot of things have changed in the last, 20 years, and, ordinances need to keep up with those. The parking flexibility, this one is, I think, a little overreach on RRC's part. I don't think the intention of the program when we first enlisted in this was to get this detailed and know how your ordinance should be written. You know, to me, that's a local decision. And them requiring specific flexibility for parking seems a little bit too micromanaging on their part. I think it's good that they encourage parking flexibility, but to say that we have to have so many means to do it, and then to also counter that, I think we have more than what they're talking about. I think we have very flexible parking standards. The Planning Commission has the ability to waive or reduce. We have shared parking agreements that are available. We have other means that you can dedicate future parking area instead of building it. You don't have to build it, and then it's shown that it's needed, then you can require that, but then if it's not, we did that at the surgery center and, saved them paving 20 spaces of unneeded parking. So I think we have a lot of flexibility in that regard. And this is something that I plan on pushing back with RRC on, that, I think this is not really, in my mind, what the original intent of the whole program was. I think that other communities that are engaged in this program would have similar feelings.
But maybe they'll come back when you bring up your points. Maybe they'll come back and say, well, what about this and what about that? And, there could be a
meeting. Yeah, I'm scheduling a meeting with our coordinator to go over all these very items. And I'm sure there'll be some, understandings on some of these.
I mean, there could be something like that in the standards, but it would still be up to us or the city commission to actually approve it per each site.
Yeah.
Just to give people the idea that it is flexible.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think
flexible, with Lake Street and stuff. And, people even complain, certain person complained a lot about, you know, what are we going to do about parking and all this? You know, there's whatever. I just think parking is something that cities typically over. They want you to put in more than you need.
I'm still, you know, parking is one of my pet peeves. And you have to see an ordinance that does it, you know, appropriately. And it seems like every ordinance is always written, you know, by taking some other ordinance and putting it in. And there is no definitive study that's done well. You know, there are parking studies that look at some, highest uses for typical, you know, uses. And those numbers are already too high. There's no real good study of realistic parking. Mm-hmm. It always is worst case scenario. So you develop these sites with way too much. You know, like where the Family Fair is, you know, I did analysis of that. If you were to build that today, you'd have to have about 500 spaces. You're not even going to be close to what that is. And that parking lot, I hate the design, but it functions. It meets their needs every typical day. There's going to be days that, you know, it's really busy season, you're not, so. And then, you know, this one thing that RRC did is that they did their technical assistance where they funded the parking study that we did in 2018. And if you recall that, you know, that showed very specifically that, you know, the city has lots of public parking available. It's just how it's managed, how it's used, and, you know, you're not going to be able to park in front of the business that you want to go to every day. You might have to walk a block. But there's spaces there on a typical day. Again, Point Under, or you know, you're going to have to, you know, be creative where you park. And it happens. But, you know, for most times, it functions and it works. So. Well, I'll have a discussion with Pablo regarding that part. Conceptual review meetings. Basically, what we just did with Chad in that discussion. I think our process works great. The most complicated thing I want from you to get on an agenda for this meeting for a pre-application is send me an email saying you want to be on the agenda. You can send as much material as you want. You don't have to send anything you want. I want to make it as simple and easy to process, to encourage people to come in and speak with you, to get these ideas out here, to have great discussion. You know, sometimes it might not go the way they want, and sometimes it will, but they'll get a good understanding of what is expected. They're requesting that we provide some kind of checklist. I have four checklists. Are they out there? I do. So I'm just saying another
requirement
where they're trying to micromanage how we do this. You know, to me, I think it works great, and I haven't had any complaints about how it works, and I think we've had a lot of very fruitful discussions through this process. So to me, you're fixing something that's not broke. And I'll have that discussion with you.
Well, I would be interested to know what they would like on that checklist. Like, what do they feel applicable for this conceptual review? You know, maybe it's
provide. It seems like it would be up to the applicant what they think is applicable to their.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to put standards in front of people to come and talk with you, which I, you know, for a pre-application conference, I don't see are necessary and I don't see are helpful. They will have that discussion with you, and then, you know, we have a full, you know, development plan review process, and they feel comfortable enough after that informal discussion to move forward with that, then, you know, those are your standards. But prior to that, you know, why spend a lot of time, money, and resources developing something that may go nowhere? That's, you know, as simple as possible is how I would make the program. The next one is the internal review process. that's a pretty simple process as well, that where, you know, the city department heads, you know, review all the various applications. That process is typically, you know, I get an application, and we have, you know, the next department head meeting, those are all dispersed to all the various department heads. I get comments and, you know, concerns and issues and, you know, in writing from each of the department heads, and then we supply those to the planning commission for part of that review. That seems to be working pretty well. I'm not sure why they want to update that. I don't see us changing it anyway, but, you know, I'll tell them that we're going to continue to do what we think is right. Fee schedule, that was updated as part of the budget. Payment methods, identify those, and those are on the website. I just don't think they look there, but we do have credit card payments available and all that.
I think maybe it's part of a process where we need to get that reviewed, the whole website, and done.
Well, yeah, because
it may not use it
well. It isn't, and there's been discussions about that several times that updated, and it's known, but it's just a matter of getting the consultant, getting done, getting a budget. Project tracking, I can see this as a valuable tool in some very busy planning offices. You know, we may have 4 or 5 projects a year, and it's not that tough to keep an eye on them. You know, we have a file, we have documentation of what's going on, but they're looking at some developed system of putting in projects and all the various, you know, just another make work kind of thing. You know, and maybe this is kind of the trend of RRC kind of justifying their existence by more things they overview and review and make you do, and more rationale they have for being there. But that's just kind of my.
You know, we, if there was something simple, just stated, you know, I want to build something, or I want to start a business, what is my process, what should I do, who should I talk to, I mean, some things like that could
be added to the website. And we have a development plan review guide that does just that.
Yeah.
It goes through, you know, all the steps of, you know, pre-application meeting, development plan review, special use, conditional zoning, it goes through all those various processes and what, you know, would be required. So, you know, that's kind of there. But this is looking at an internal process where how we keep track of what's happening. You know, I can look at it and tell you, it's in process, it's done, it's whatever's been approved, you know, it's not that complicated. So. Orientation. So typically when a planning commissioner comes on, we give them the ordinance and, you know, some other materials, but I guess I would get some feedback from you. What, as coming on to, as a new commissioner, what do you think you need and what do you think would be valuable to get in kind of like an orientation packet? I mean, we try to offer training.
Right.
We try to, you know, encourage that.
Jumping on a few years ago, I thought the RRC training was very helpful for me on understanding, you know, the basics of everything. So, you know, I kind of thought if nobody has any prior training, that, I mean, not necessarily make a, you know, tell them they have to do it, but, you know, I think any new commissioner who doesn't have any prior training should do something like that, or, you know,
I mean,
made to, but it was just very helpful, and, you know, because you're very helpful too, but they have class setups, and they have other people come. Paolo was very, I mean, I could talk to him in class and out of class, so he was very receptive, and I just thought it went really well.
So those were in person, or is that?
That was online.
Yeah, right.
That was during COVID, so, but again, it still went good.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot, like I said, a lot of the basics on jumping that board.
So there's more, that's more, I think, something that we offer you as opposed to, you know, some kind of packet.
Or anything.
But I know it just for
making
you
aware of it.
Yeah, for onboarding reasons, it was very informative.
Yeah. The RRC jumping off that did offer a book list too during the process, so maybe offering some of those sources that people can utilize if they don't necessarily have the time to do the RRC training, because it is, you know, pretty important.
Yeah. And there was a citizen planner training going on Thursday night that nobody signed up for. That's quite a commitment. You know, 3 hours a night for, what, 6 hours?
I've got three kids that are all in either sports or this is nuts.
So what's happening with that? It's started 2 weeks ago.
So who's in it?
From the city, Bonnie.
But who else?
Didn't
open it up to the universe?
No, it's a regional kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think some people from Emmett, some from Antrim, some from Charlevoix. 13 people in total are going to.
Professional staff or just people like board members like us?
I think a mix.
Is it you have to take all the classes or individuals?
If you want to get your certification and your assistant planner. Don't.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. But I'm sure you taking a course here and there would still be valuable. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the bylaws, all the bylaws are being uploaded, so we have that done. Any planning commission report, that was done, reviewed, submitted, so we're good there. Training plan, you know, that comes back to, you know, it's our philosophy to offer as much training as we can. RRC has been, you know, very valuable in doing that, you know, providing those opportunities to the commission members. So then, you know, we try to, you know, take advantage of opportunities as they arise. You know, that assistant planner, we asked to be a host, and we did that. So we, you know, that was a great opportunity. And then as other opportunities come up, you know, we try to take advantage of them. You know, we do budget, you know, some money every year for training, and so if there's a cost, then we can cover those. Joint meeting, you know, that's up to the city commission to schedule that. I think they had the discussion in terms of not to do that. I don't think, Tom, you know, if they're going to.
Well, we talked about having one in January, and then a couple of the commissioners couldn't make it, so we canceled.
Yeah.
And never rescheduled.
Looks like it might not happen this year. Things get busy.
So, yeah, it's going to happen. It's happening soon.
Yeah. So it was, you know, we've done that in the past and understand those, you know, that's a valuable kind of thing, but sometimes schedules get in the way. And this economic development stuff, the Main Street has been doing that for the last few years. And have updated those previously. There's been some turnover in the Main Street director, so I don't expect, you know, Ingrid to, you know, be able to tackle these. You know, I think she's got her hands full with just, you know, keeping the ship moving. So those may not be, you know, accomplished. So that is the rundown of what we are. You know, the RRC program overall has been good. You know, I express some frustration about some things, but, you know, I think overall, you know, the benefits have been many. We've got a lot of technical assistance for a variety of different things, and those have been helpful. Skylar mentioned, you know, Pablo is very accommodating and very helpful. Site marketing of the sites downtown, I don't think that's as valuable as originally intended. You know, we've had 3 sites identified in the city since 2013, and I have received 0 calls on any of those sites from any developer who's looked on the RRC website saying that property was available. Any developments have been
generated by other means. And so I'm not sure that, you know, the value in that particular aspect is there.
Does RRC have a way to track if they've been viewed at all?
I'm sure they do. I mean, but, you know, basically, you know, whatever people clicking on them, and imagine there's some way to count those. But do they generate contacts to me or the city regarding those properties? No.
Yeah, I pulled what was actually listed for Boyne City, and they're not real timely with respect to. They list the parking lot as one of the three properties, the Remax parking lot as another, and then Country Now and Then as the three properties that they are exposing developers to. I was talking with Scott. Country Now and Then was the first issue in terms of building the that I came aboard. We talked about the Remax parking lot probably being the most desirable place that a developer might want to put a structure up, and then the Pacman parking lot. Scott and I, there's a lot of environmental and engineering issues with respect to it. Based upon the maintenance of their website, and you know, if we wrote the same report card for them as we do, they did for us. And what was interesting is that I went through, and they say 41% of the redevelopment expectations have been met. Well, that's not really true, because most of the ones where we were compliant were not applicable.
Right.
And so I calculated out the fact that we were aligned with RRC 3 out of 19 categories. And given the fact that we have not really received a lot of benefit in terms of inquiries on any type of developmental type of, you know, developers approaching us, I'm wondering what the value of this organization is to Boyne City.
Well, I think I just reflected on those. This particular benefit, I don't see value in. I mean, to go through the process of identifying properties and putting them on the website, and that's our responsibility now, so we can't put that on them. So I'm now responsible for updating their website. But I think there's limited value in that particular thing. These other things, I think there's great value. We got the parking study, we got the soil analysis of the flashing lot through RRC, we did the corridor plan through RRC, we did the conditional zoning training through RRC. We obviously, they have, you know, the training availability to commission members that don't care.
Don't they have a bus on the next street and help bring that to us?
No, no, they did not. But being on, it was one of our designated properties, you know, it focused us on that. Yeah, that was an important property. The developer wasn't brought to us through RRC. But being an RRC property did identify that it was a priority. So I guess there's some benefit going through that exercise as a commission to identify what your, you know, priority development properties are, and then subsequently, if decisions down the road are made about those, then you can say, yeah, we made this conscious choice that this is, you know, a priority property. But I wouldn't bank on developers using their website to come in and, you know, their marketing materials and gosh, that is developed through that means.
Well, at the very beginning, when we were trying to get the RRC certification, wasn't there an exercise where they helped us go through our zoning ordinance and make sure that we did, that we had things in there that were sort of redevelopment ready, that if there were things that didn't match the ordinance, or that made it more difficult. It just seemed like there was a fair amount of effort put into that. It's just fine-tuning language in the zoning ordinance, I think, wasn't it?
I don't think there was a lot of changes. I do recall that initial assessment. I'm not sure how deep they dove into the zoning ordinance. That was quite a few years ago. I just remember that part of the assessment was, that original assessment was all about transparency and ease of operations with the community, and then making sure that, any ordinances were available and easy to understand and move through the system. Specifics about what those ordinances said,
transparency and that's important stuff.
Yeah, this program has evolved.
And in terms of listing the properties, when I was the chamber director and Hugh Conklin was the Main Street director, we kept a list on the Main Street website, and it was at the bottom of the chamber newsletter every single week. It's like, available properties, click here. And it wasn't just the two or three that were designated.
Right, yeah.
But it was anybody who they call the chamber, they call Main Street, they say, I got a place for rent that I need to rent. Can you put it on there? And it did. It was.
Yeah, that, I think, was much more effective.
Yeah. But it's more than just those three targets.
Exactly.
Which are, as you know, they're big projects, like Carl said. They're that one, especially the former Remax, is a real desirable site. But you got to build it from scratch, and in this current environment with prices and everything.
Yeah, you have to understand that the original intent of this program was redevelopment of downtown core properties, we have much larger variety of projects that need to happen, residential, that's needs to be a focus. And that's not been a focus of RRC, which it should be. I think you need to look holistically at your community. And residential fits with commercial. You need one, you need the other. And I've had those discussions with them, saying that, the focus of this program needs to shift from, redeveloping just existing dilapidated properties or underused properties in your downtown. But, you need to think bigger. And I haven't seen any changes on that, but I think they've heard that message. So, I will be working on this, and hopefully we can be aligned and get our funding for master plan update going forward.
So we meet 41% of what the ideal perfect score is. Is there a minimum that we need to achieve to continue the program?
Well, that's going to be up to them to decide whether. But I
get up to 45, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think they're looking to kick people out. But they, think they need to justify their existence and have these processes that we need.
All good there. All right, let's move on to staff report, please.
I think I just went over it.
So we're good there?
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to good or the order. Good viewer, excuse me. Anyone have anything they'd like to add?
Monarch City is a monarch city now.
Monarch City. This is a designation?
Yeah, just like Case City USA.
Very cool.
We are Monarch City USA. So.
Where's that sign going to go?
About a Welcome to Blank City signs, and then probably find a few spots, maybe like some gardens in town. I got two right now. Probably get six more or so.
Excellent. That's very exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I know you've been working for the
city.
Well, yeah, I know how much work you've dedicated to that. So.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Just 8 more days to run for city commission.
Oh.
I don't think anybody turned in a petition. I asked Jessica about that, and she said, everybody waits till 3 o'clock on the deadline.
All right. Anyone else? All right. I see a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
About a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Meeting's adjourned. We'll see you guys May 15th at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
You want to add this back to the supply?
Yeah, because it's one of my favorites.
No, I didn't get in a fight.
I was going to say.
I'm getting a, what do you call it? You know, where they put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, anyway. But, and they gave me a tooth to put in, but it's uncomfortable.
I would never have noticed.
Yeah, and when I smile, it doesn't show that much.
Yeah.
You know? Like when you do, your teeth show. But the one...